Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
For whoever is ashamed of me and of my word in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. The first few words of that sentence always grab me a little bit, because I know there have been times in my life, usually a long time ago, when I found myself ashamed of something. And it wasn't usually about me, it was usually about other people that I was ashamed in the beginning. I remember probably being about 7 or 8 years old, and I had an old grandmother who had arthritis really bad, and a good dose of dementia. So it was rather, kind of scary to bring friends into the house, and rather embarrassing to bring people home to be in the presence of this frightening looking woman who also was a bit out of her head because she couldn't think straight. And then there were times when I would be ashamed of my father. My father was a really straight guy in terms of how he lived. You know, he never swore, never did any of those kind of things, didn't drink, didn't smoke, went to church all the time. People like that for a 14 or a 15-year-old can be a little embarrassing at times, or at least risky, because you never knew what dad was going to say if you brought people around. Dad was a problem. And then I was probably also ashamed of my church. You know, because my church was full of a language that I didn't understand. I mean, I was able to use it, I was able to read the text of it, but most of the time I wasn't real sure what was going on, even though I was singing in the choir in that foreign tongue. So the idea of somebody showing up there by accident who I knew was a rather, scary experience. Made me a little bit of ashamed of my heritage, which I probably didn't know all that much about to start with, but it just embarrassed the heck out of me. And I think that sometimes when I reflect back on some of those things, and I notice that I can see much more clearly now what was going on for me, while at the time I thought that I was perfectly in the know about what was happening and how I needed to respond out of that. Recently I've been listening to a little book, and it's called, another college course, The Skeptic's Guide to American History, and it's taught by a professor named Mark Waller, and it comes out of the Great Courses series that I had mentioned probably a couple of months ago with another set of books. But he talks about how history is like that, that when we are in the middle of the story, when we are living our lives, when things are going on around us, when all the events that will become history are happening, we may think that we know what's going on, but we really don't. And he described it to being in front of a blackboard with writing on it. But you're up against the blackboard, and your nose is virtually touching it. And you really can't see anything of what's on that blackboard, except when you take a step back. So with a little bit of distance from it, you can start to read what's up there, but if it's a very large blackboard and you're still not too far away, well, you can see some things here that help you make a little bit sense, but until you step back even further than that, you can't see, let's say, the mathematical theorem or whatever it is that's up there. And then even when you can begin to see it, as many of us can relate to from back in those days when we gazed upon blackboards, which now the word is going to go out of existence because nobody has them anymore. But even if you step back and can see it and can describe the figures that are on there, if it's math of a higher order or a foreign language, you can't really say what's there without someone doing some interpreting for you. And if it's going to be something that's really high-level thinking, lots of times you're going to have more than one person doing that interpreting. So you want to have not just one expert, but lots of experts who stand between you and the blackboard and give you the kind of information that can really help you interpret what's on that board. And the church is kind of like that for us. I mean, if we imagine that this icon that's here of the elevation of the cross, and it says up on top in a foreign language, which again is in Greek. I can't read it real good, but it says, "I would imagine the elevation of the cross." But if I was standing here like this, how much can I tell what this is an icon of?
out that there's a head there with some figures, but I really can't tell what it is an icon of. When I get back to here, I can see a man with a gray beard and some vestments on holding a large, large cross. And I can see what looks to be a queen. She has a crown on her head on one side. And then I see other people holding candles and things like that. So I can make some sense of it. But really, if I want to understand what is in that icon, it's going to require a lot more than me just standing back and being able to make out some of the figures. Because think back in, any person from out in town right now, ask them to stand here, and they can tell us something about that icon. They can describe it pretty well, although they wouldn't be able to read the words either. So when we come into the church, it may be good for us to consider the possibility that that's kind of how we stand. That maybe we're a little bit too close to the board or to the icon. Maybe we've been, I'm so familiar with what's going on in the church that it looks like we understand what's around us, but maybe we don't understand much at all. And it will only be by getting a little bit more distance and maybe listening to what some of the experts have said. Because when we stand back from the icons, it's not only the experts as they show up to us in the epistle and the gospel, but it will also be in all those commentaries in the lives of the saints, in all the other icons that our understanding can come. Is it any wonder then that we seem sometimes to be so empty of the kind of excitement that the saints had if what we're doing is standing in front of a blackboard or in front of an icon that we understand very little about? No, it's not hard to understand that at all. It's not hard to imagine being there because we've all been there. But it's funny that in our own lives, we don't think of it that way when we think of who we are, who God is, and what that relationship and what that distance between us and the need for the saints and the interpreters and the experts in the field, so to speak, how absolutely more necessary they are to us here in these kinds of things than they are out there. Because you know, out there we can kind of fake it. We can kind of navigate our way along. But when we hear some of the kinds of things that Jesus says to us, we want to do that same thing, but we are in great trouble if we do. When we hear something like, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul?" Well, most of us know it gains him nothing. Most of us are more than willing to acknowledge that, to say, well, that would be stupid, to gain the whole world, but it's passing, it's going to disappear. How foolish that person would be if he's going to lose his soul. But perhaps I'm standing in front of a blackboard that may have those words written on it, but I'm a little bit up there too close. Or maybe I'm a little bit too far back and I just can't even see that blackboard anymore. But whatever the case may be, if I don't get some clarity about what's on that board, I may be in big trouble. And it's not, again, one of those things that we have a real hard time understanding anywhere else. You show me a sign out there. As we get older, as my eyes aren't as good as they used to be, I drive a little slower because I can't read that sign as fast. So as I'm driving down the highway, whereas if I used to be able to drive 85 miles an hour and still be able to know where to get off the highway, now I'm probably down to 65. The world is a safer place. So that's not a bad thing. But when we come to the church, when we find ourselves in the celebration of a feast, as we are right now, one as mind-blowing as the elevation of the cross, where last week I spoke about how maybe we're just not getting the message. And now we're hearing about this question where we're encouraged to examine and look and see whether or not we are denying, whether we are ashamed of Christ, whether we are even knowledgeable enough to be able to contemplate that. What we see is that we stand before this marvelous chalkboard or this beautiful icon that the church is with all of the truth of everything around us. And yet we haven't quite bothered to see that there are some things that need to be added to that. One of them, for those of us who are old enough, is age. Age is a wonderful thing in every regard for our understanding. It teaches us many lessons. We know that experience is a very good teacher, but it's not sufficient. I remember that father of mine and my parents and grandparents saying, get an education.
Why did they say that? Well, when I would come home from that job, those early jobs that I had, and I'd come home covered with dirt, they would ask me the question, do you want to do that for the rest of your life? Well, then go to school, study hard, get an education. Well, our souls are kind of the same way, except we can't see quite how tattered and dirty they might be. And if that's going to change for us, we need to get an education. We can't keep stumbling around as though we know what we're doing when we perhaps do not. We can't be forfeiting our souls and not even knowing it without suffering the consequences of it nonetheless. So as we get older, we might just want to acknowledge that and let our age teach us something. But the lesson is not ever that it's too late, because it's never too late. The message is always, wake up. Pay attention, take notice of these things, because when we do, in that moment, we are no longer old, young, ignorant, brilliant, or any of those things. We are simply standing in Christ's light. So let us pray that as we continue through our lives on this planet, as we continue going through the things that we go through, that those things on the blackboard of life in front of us, or on the icons of life in front of us, may be coming into better focus, and not only by the accident of let's say, of age and growth and a certain kind of osmotic reception of wisdom that will probably happen to us anyway, but let us pray that we may be desirous of knowing the truth about these things, because God wants nothing more than to be able to fill us with that truth to His glory and to our salvation. Amen.